Well, welcome. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. It's been good to hear testimonies. It's been good to worship. It's been good to just fellowship together. Let's do this. Aaron's been starting a new practice, and I haven't done it yet when I speak, but let's stand together and let's just take a moment and let's pray. Let's call out to the Lord and ask Him to come and minister to us. So we'll just pray quietly together in our hearts and in our minds to Him. Father God, I thank You for sending Your Son. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for this time that we have in Your house today, Lord, and the work that You've done in us, the work that You're going to do in us, Lord, the work that You're going to use us for in the lives of others. God, we just proclaim Your goodness today. We proclaim Your glory and thank You for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. In the book of John, Jesus makes some statements. He's telling people, I am this, I am that. He's telling people about Himself. There are seven I am statements that we've been going through, and this is the fourth one. And Aaron said last week, you know, he was letting us know there's going to be some overlap between, you know, this week's message and last week's message. You know, this one is called, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. So our goal as Christians is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what we're all about. That's why we're here on this earth, is to be made more like Him, to know Him, to understand Him, to be filled with His likeness. We're called to be people who worship Jesus. That's what we do. That's our function. And I know it might sound like that's pretty limited. Wait, I mean, I've got goals and aspirations and things I want to do. You know, someday I want to be this, I want to do that. But our goal, we're preparing for eternity. We're preparing for something that will never end. And we can't fathom that. Everything we know has a beginning, it has an end, and we've seen it. We saw it when it started, we saw it when it ended, most of the time. There's very few things that, well, there's things that existed before we were around. But we know everything has a beginning and an end, and we just can't fathom or comprehend things that don't. We're going to live forever, and that's our goal, to be people who worship and follow Jesus, imitate Him, walk as Jesus did in holiness, in power, and submission to the Father. Our statement of faith as Christians, at its core, is we believe that Jesus is who He says He is. So in these statements, I am the good shepherd. We believe that. The things that He says about Himself, He and the Father are one. We don't just admire Him and think, okay, Jesus, He was a good guy. He was, this great man. We worship Him just like it was foretold. The prophet Isaiah said He was wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We believe that He is, Jesus is the uncreated, eternal, omnipotent God. So uncreated. He was here. He wasn't created by anything, by any matter, by any kind of cosmic event. He always was. He is, and He always will be. He's the one that created life. He's the one that sustains life and breathed us into existence. He is the great I am. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they're one in three divine persons. That's why we worship Jesus. He was and is to come. He's the one true eternal God. So here, we're being conformed into His image. And it's not this, you know, one-off thing. You know, okay, it's said and done. We've obtained that, and now we can just go about business as usual. It is an ongoing life event. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop. We are continually being conformed into the image of Christ. You don't just get your diploma or your certificate of accomplishment or your card that you can carry in your wallet, you know, now that says, I am conformed to the image of Christ. We're continually being changed, and there's nothing in us that's good in and of itself. We need Him. We rely on Him, and we continually need to just submit to him and be conformed to his image. So when we leave these temporary bodies, these shells that we live in, we're going to continue for all eternity with him in heaven. We're going to worship him for all eternity. And it's never going to get old. We don't really understand that. I can't understand that. I think, well, you get tired of everything. You know, my favorite foods. I don't get tired of things as quickly as my wife does. Like, I could eat tuna fish sandwiches for 6 months for lunch every single day on the job site. I like that, and it's okay. But she wouldn't do it for 2 days in a row. There's no way. But, you know, when we worship him, it's not going to be like it's that same old tuna fish sandwich that gets old and boring. I mean, he is everything that we could ever imagine, and far beyond that. We can't comprehend him. And he laid down his own life on the cross so that we would never perish. And he gives us this privilege to follow him from this temporary life, from this life that's full of corruption, into eternal life with him. So we're followers, we're worshipers of Jesus, and to follow him, we need to hear his voice, we need to spend time with him, be his disciples, discipline ourselves to follow him, to hear him, and be conformed to his image. That means we need to know him, and we have to abide in him. So the word tells us here, it says, you know, as followers of Jesus, this is what the word admonishes us to do. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. It's corrupt through its deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So our scripture passage today is from John, and it's in chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, and then later on down in the chapter, verses 27 through 30. And Jesus here is going to tell us more about himself. He's going to show us the way to go about this process of being renewed and conformed to his image. And yeah, so let's get into that right there. We're going to turn today to John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And this is one of the ones he gets to say twice. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves. He leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So last week, Aaron spoke on the statement that Jesus made about, I am the door. I am the door. You know, and basically he's telling us there's no other way to the Father except than through me. A lot of these I am statements, Jesus is talking about who he is, and the Pharisees have been kind of pressing and pushing him, you know, answer us. We want to know who you are. You know, you're doing all these things. Lots of people are following you. Are you the Messiah? That's what they want to find out, because they don't believe he is, and they want him to say something that's blasphemous or that they can consider so that they can get rid of him. So they're pressing him for an answer. Who are you? Who are you? And he's telling them these different things. I'm the door. So this is kind of, you know, it's alluding to the fact that there's no other way to the Father except for then through me. And Aaron did a great job last week of talking about how we're all sheep, and we really do need a shepherd to lead us. Now, there's this viral little video. I've seen it at different times, a little short GIF or something on the internet, where a shepherd, you see a trench cut in the ground, and there's a lamb stuck in it. He pulls it out, and the lamb just hops and jumps and just hops right back in the trench 20 feet down, you know. And since it's a repeating video, it just goes over and over and over. The guy pulls him out, doink, 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 he hops right back in. And it's over and over, and I thought, this is kind of hilarious. This is us as sheep, you know, when we are not listening to his voice. And this is the thing. We fall into the same trap over and over and over again. And that's it. That's what we are. You know, we're sheep, but he is the good shepherd. He's the door. And, it, you know, each one of these statements that he makes talks about his character and his mission that he came to accomplish here on earth. And when he talks about the fact that I am the good shepherd, He's making a statement about his eminence, where he comes from, you know. He's also, and ultimately, telling us about his divinity. He's telling us, he's setting himself apart, not just a good shepherd, but the good shepherd. He's stating plainly here that I'm the Messiah that was prophesied here. I was prophesied all throughout the Old Testament, and I'm here in your midst. That same person that's been foretold in the scriptures as a shepherd, that's me. That's what Jesus is saying. I am that good shepherd. The word good here means more than just good. You know, we think of good, that's adequate, that's okay, you know, that's sort of good. It means beautiful, noble, perfect. And there's just a lot of things that word can't sum up. Jesus is talking about his divine attribute of perfection here in this. He's saying, I am the perfect shepherd. I am the ultimate noble shepherd. Yeah, in Isaiah 41, it says that he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He's talking about his eternal character, and he's stating the fact that he is God. He is the great I am. And I am always and always have been and always will be the good shepherd. Nothing can change that. I am faithful. I'm the true shepherd. Any other one is an imposter. And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to save the flock, even to the point of laying down my own life. Jesus here is contrasting himself. He's setting himself apart from the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees of the day, unlike them. You know, he's calling them hired hands. Y'all don't own the flock. You don't even care about the flock. When something happens and the wolves come, you're running off and the flock is getting eaten up by the wolves. They flee because they don't care anything for the sheep. Jesus loves us. And this is incredible, especially after, you know, thinking about that video and how ignorant sheep are and how foolish they are, that he loves us so much that he would give his own life for us so that we could be saved and reconciled and take on his holiness and be conformed to his image. That's incredible. When you think about the lowliness of a sheep, we don't know too much about them because we don't really do sheep farming too much in North America, but in other parts of the world, it's very, very prevalent still to this day. So he's speaking of what's to come. Jesus is saying here, you know, I'm laying down my life for the sheep. It hadn't happened yet, but here now, as we read it and as we see it, it has happened. This great and awesome, powerful, foretold thing that was prophesied, he has come. He has laid down his life. He has paid the price. He's been raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit has raised Christ from the dead, and we or just living in that victory today. Victory over death so that all who call on the name of the Lord would be saved. Every single person who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He knows his own and his own know him. And I think that's a beautiful example of the gospel. You know, the fact that we're compared to sheep with all the foolishness and all the ignorance that sheep have, he knows us and he allows us to know him. In his great mercy, he rescued us. Oh, no. We lost our notes. I hope you all have your Bibles. Let's see if we can get that reconnected real quick. And if not, then you'll have to just follow along. All right. We're back. Very good. Thank you for letting me know. And there was one time when it went to screensaver and there was all kinds of who knows what happening in the background. Everybody started giggling. And I thought, what's going on? All right. He rescued us. Our response to this, you know, how do we respond to what he's done to us? Well, we listen for his voice. That's what we do. That's why we're getting together to pray. You know, our engaged prayer is to hear his voice. We want to know how to listen to Jesus. That's why we read the word. That's why we set apart time to seek him. It says in verse 27, you know, later on down, John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Yeah, wow. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So this takes us away from that cyclical falling back into that same old ditch, because we're listening to the voice of God. We're following him instead of following in that same old path and falling back into that same thing. They hear his voice. We as sheep, we're listening to his voice, but that's not all. We're not just called to listen. You know, when's the last time you've heard something, you paid little attention to it? Men probably know this, when your wife's talking and you have to stop sometimes to actually listen. Maybe other men don't do that, but I do. I get lost in thought sometimes, and I might be, deeply involved in figuring out something, trying to answer these great questions, and my wife will be talking to me and she'll say, it's just this weird thing that she'll ask me. It's like, are you even listening to me? It's like, what do you mean? Of course I wasn't. So that's it. We're called to listen, but not only to hear, but actually to understand and obey. You know, we don't just sit back and smile at each other and we say, wow, that's our shepherd. Did you hear him? Did you hear what he said? That's great. Yeah, that's really awesome. And then go back and jump into the ditch again. No, we follow him. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They follow me. That's the key. That's the distinguishing factor about Christians and this transformation that we've gone under, and this the fact that we've been born again. I'm going to rip my wife off. She told me something today, a statement, that she says she wants to use it someday, but, I'm going to actually preempt it, You hear people a lot of times that say, well, if they're talking about whatever sin, well, I was born this way. I'm sorry. You can still use it. She said it on the drive. She says, well, I was born this way. And you hear that. You hear people make that excuse. Well, yeah, I was just born this way. Well, yeah, of course. We all were born under this curse of sin. That's why we've got to be born again. That's why we have to be transformed. That's why we have to be conformed to the image of Christ. We have to know this new life and take on what's imperishable. Put aside the perishable and take on what's new. So that's being born again. That was what Jesus said. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again. So that was just an awesome thing. I think it was a godly revelation. And thank you for sharing that with me. And I'm sorry I steal your thunder for another day. But you've got to be born again. You have to be. So yeah, we don't just hear his voice. We listen and we follow and we're being born again. We're being transformed. We're being distinguished from the folks around us, because unlike now, we're just these sheep without a shepherd that aren't following, that aren't listening. They're just doing our own thing. They're ultimately going to perish and die. So what are you doing to follow Jesus? How do you go about following him? What's your standard operating procedure to follow him? Do you have something that you do regularly? Do you have a time of devotions? Do you have a place that you go? Do you listen for his voice in your life? Are you spending time with him? Make provisions for that. Make provisions to hear his voice and follow him. This one small thing is when we get together to pray as a church, come on out. Because it's something we can do. We encourage one another in the body, and we're able to help one another and spur one another on. That's part of getting together on Sundays, that we encourage each other in the faith. And that's a key reason too of why we're not to forsake the fellowship of gathering. A lot of times, and you hear it, and people's like, I don't need to gather. I don't need to go to church. Everybody there is hypocrites. They're all sinners. Well, yeah, of course. And we're in the process of being renewed and being changed and following Christ. And we're going to be imperfect, but our goal and our purpose and our function is to know him, to follow him, and to be conformed to his image. So sometimes it's really easy. We get busy. We have a lot of things to do. There's lots of business, and we forget about the most important thing. Like when Jesus was at Martha's house with his disciples, and Martha's sister Mary was at Jesus' feet listening to him while he teaches, hanging on his every word. And Martha says to Jesus, don't you think it's unfair that my sister, she sits here while I do all the work, preparing the meal and getting things ready in the house? Tell her to come and help me. Tell her to come and get in the kitchen and help me do this work. She's just sitting around. And Jesus says, Martha, you're anxious and concerned about many things. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. There's only one thing that's actually important. Mary's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. You can't follow the Good Shepherd, Jesus. You can't follow him if you don't hear his voice, if you don't listen. If you're not spending that time to hear him, spending that time in the Word and in prayer and quietly waiting for him, you're not going to be able to hear his voice, and you're not going to be able to follow. The Word says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of the Lord. That's where faith comes from. It doesn't come from working and staying busy and doing all the things you need to do and checking off your list. It comes from spending time with him, from knowing him, from being transformed. So here, really, the opposite of that's true. If you don't spend time listening to him and listening to the voice of God and hearing and following, then your faith will erode. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it's of greater value than anything else we can obtain in this life. It says that it's more valuable than gold. And gold, even to this day, is still a highly valuable commodity and an asset. It's not susceptible to all the other things that happen in economies and as things change. Gold is valuable, and it always has value. That's our faith. It is the most valuable thing that we can have in this life. So I just want to challenge you in that. Create space. Create time. Make a habit of regularly pursuing him on your own, of following him, of listening for his voice, of praying, of reading the Word. And don't let other things get in the way, all the other silliness. Yeah, you've got homework if you're a student. Yeah, you've got to get to work if you have a job. I mean, a lot of times I found out the only time as an adult that you're going to wind up having that's your own, that you can actually devote, is if you get up maybe a little bit earlier before all the other demands start getting placed on your life. You know, once you wake up and everyone else is awake, it's time for you to do this, that, and the other, and you're at the beck and call a lot of times of other people. So get up in that early hour, spend time with him. Find, if that doesn't work for you, find a way, find a place, find a time. But it is the most important thing you can do. So don't let another day go by being stuck in this busyness and forgetting the one thing that's worth being concerned about, which is what Martha was doing, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, hanging on his every word. And increase your hunger and your thirst for righteousness and your longing for his return. We need to look forward to the fact that he's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back for us. That's exciting, and we need to just bring that more into the, you know, the focal point of our lives when we wake up. We have a great and wonderful Savior. The Good Shepherd is coming back to take us home to be with him forever. So the Word says to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. He will lead us into all righteousness. This is Isaiah 55. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, because this life really is fleeting. I'm probably past halfway point already in my life. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. Isaac and I, on Thursday, we had this opportunity to cut a tree. It was huge. It's definitely the biggest tree I've ever cut down. I was really scared of it. We were going to hire somebody, and finally, after this time went on, we thought, okay, we'll just do it ourselves. This tree, when I measured it, was 42 inches across. It's a big oak tree, and the branches themselves going out horizontally were like trees themselves. And this thing has been around on Earth longer than any other human being alive today. You know, I did a little search after when we cut it. If we take those dimensions, you put it into a growth factor calculator on the Google, you know, you get this calculation. It says that maybe the tree at its youngest age might have been 144 years old. Well, even at that, and I imagine it's probably older than that, just at the size it was, that there is not a human being on this planet that was alive when that tree first grew. Anyway, it had died. That's why we cut it down. It finally had lost the remaining little portions of its life. It sprouted at the, you know, as all the leaves came on the trees this year, it grew some leaves, and then it died out, and that was the end. But just like it, we have, I mean, and this life is way longer than any of ours are. Our lives are fleeting. Follow him. The goal's not just salvation. It's not just, okay, I've put my trust in him. I believe. I know I'm saved. Okay, now I can get back to the business of day-to-day life. Now I can get back to the business of school and of work and of politics or whatever else it is that we devote all of our time to. But that's not it. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because the day is going to come when it's over, when we can't call on him anymore. It's done. So Jesus goes on to say here in verse 28, he says, he will give them eternal life. So that's it. Okay, wait. Our life here is temporary. Our life here is fleeting. Our life here is going to end regardless of how long we last. But he is going to give us eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So this is the wonderful and glorious gift that he gives to us. And they will never perish. The implication here for our lives is that, you know, Jesus is saying, no one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can do anything that's going to take away eternal life. The eternal life that I give to them, no one can take it away. Not demons, not angels, not murderers, not thieves. Nothing can take away this eternal life that I'm giving to people, to the sheep that put their trust in me. This is the eternal security that God gives us when we put our trust in him. And no one can take that away from us. Not life, not death. Again, not angels, not demons. So we can't be complacent. It's not this license to be complacent. Everything is done. The price is paid. Jesus shed his blood, you know, and he was raised on the third day. We can't sit back here and now. Again, the characteristic of the fact that we're his sheep is that we hear his voice. We know him and he knows us. We're called to hear him, to follow him, to press towards that reward that he has for us. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, you know, right at the end of it, it says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him, but we're not of those that shrink back and are destroyed, but we're of those who have faith and preserve our souls. Now here in verse 29 of our scripture for today, he says that he tells them that his Father has given the sheep to him. Jesus gives them eternal life because the Father gave them to him. The Father, who's greater than all, is the Father. Our salvation can't be taken away. We've been put into his hand. I'm the good shepherd, is what Jesus says. No one can take you away from me. My Father's stronger than all. When you're in my hand, you're in his hand. And when you're in his hand, you're in my hand. Jesus, in verse 30 here, he makes the ultimate statement about himself. He's talking about he's one with the Father. I and the Father are one. In case all these other I am statements haven't been enough, in case all these other things that I've said to you didn't really convey the message that I am the Messiah who was prophesied, I'm just going to come out and plainly say it. I and the Father are one. We're the same. We're the same. That one God that you've been waiting for. And he answers this question that the Jews were pressing him about. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. Come on, tell us. Well, this is it. He's telling them. If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And he answers the question, and he takes it further than what they were asking, takes it as far as it can be taken, well beyond whether or not, well, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? I am infinitely more. I and the Father are the same. I am Almighty God. I am the great I am. I am the beginning. I am the Word that was made flesh. I am God. And the Word became flesh. You know, there's a lot of times when we just kind of miss the point, I think, of what this life is about. And I know I'm kind of harping on the same thing, but you know, we think these, just like Martha did. You know, we get tied up in the wrong things about doing what seems like needs to be done. Well, we can't be negligent. We can't just, you know, sit back and not take care of our work, but if we're not following him, if we're not listening to his voice, then we're missing out on the most important thing and the only thing that really matters for eternity. So let me ask the worship team to come up. We want to take a few more, some time to worship our Lord and Savior, to worship him for what he's done. And we want to pray for one another too. Because, you know, it's when we gather together, there is an increase of faith in numbers. And there is an encouragement that we're able to give to one another. And so I want to ask you this. We do have this habit of praying for one another. If anyone has a prayer request and you would like people to gather around you and pray for you, please raise your hand. We want to pray for you today. If we want to pray for artists. Is there anyone else here? The Lord is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. He's able to save and rescue and heal. He's able to transform lives. Is there no one else that needs prayer of any sort? Some long-lost relative, one more here. For somebody who needs to be saved. For somebody who needs to be healed. All right. Well, we'll spend some time. I'll close this time in prayer, and then I'd like for us to gather around. We'll pray for Artis, for her healing. Pray for this young lady here, too. What's your name again?
Jasmine,
thank you. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, for your power that's mighty to save. I thank you for the authority and power that you've given us in prayer to overcome the works of the enemy. And Lord, we don't do things in our own strength. We don't do things in our own power. We call on you to bring about healing. We call on you to bring about salvation. You're the good shepherd. You're the one that we need to follow, because you have eternal life. That's the gift that you give to each one who follows you. So I ask today that your kingdom would come in these people that have asked for prayer, for Jasmine and for Artis. And I ask, God, that you would do a mighty work, that you would exceed expectations. Lord, that for each person that may or may not know you in our midst, I ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. Lord, I pray that for relatives and people that don't know you, that you would give us a passion to intercede for them as believers. God, I pray that you'd make us a people of prayer, a people that pursue you. And that, Lord, we would see this world transformed, that we would see our lives transformed because we're people of faith who trust in you. We love you. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of praise. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.